Well, Hashem, we have reached Daf Hey on the Dalet, and if people have survived up until Hey on the Dalet, then it should be easy to finish the Masechta now. One of the hardest Limudim of Baba Kama is the first five Daf. This week particularly is a much easier Limud we're going to tackle. We're at the bottom of Hey Amud Aleph as a little hakdama of what the Gemara planning to do. We just look at the Mishnah again. Look at the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and we'll just point out seems to be a bit of a problem which the Gemara is trying to resolve. We read the Gemara. The Gemara says Arba Ovas Nezikim. There's four categories, classic categories of Nezikim, and it lists them in a specific order. Shah as being the first one, Bar being the pit of the hole, the second, and Mother, and all Mahlok is what Mother means, and the Hiver, which is the Eish. Right? So it has a certain order. Then it discusses that order. The next line of the Mishnah says, Lo Hari Shah Kahem Mavet. What's the compare? Is sharp to the mother, and he says, you know, they're not the same as each other, you can't learn one from the other. Now, the problem which Gemara is bothered by is that it has a specific order, Shah being number one, Bar being number two, Mother being number three. So if you would, normal things, is you would speak, if you want to talk about comparison, the next line of Gemara, you would, the next line of the Mishnah would compare according to that order. Let's compare 1 to 2 and 2 to 1 and see whether 1 and 2 are the same. And then you go to the next one. 1 and 2, let's compare to 3. And they see 3 is the same as 1 and 2, 1 and 2 is different from 3. It doesn't do that order. The next, it goes and compares. The first one it compares is, let's compare number 1 on the list to number 3 on the list. So the Gemara is bothered, why did the Mishnah have a specific order of writing it and then change that order when it came to the comparison? That's the Gemara is going to be bothered by that point. Yeah. It seemed to, and basically the question is, it seemed to skip Bar, didn't discuss Bar, which should be the first thing to discuss. Let's compare Shah to Bar or Bar to Shah. That should be the first line, next line of the Mishnah. It didn't say that. Actually left Bar to the last one to discuss in comparison. That's what our Gemara is going to be bothered by, which is going to have an answer to clarify. So let's go to the Gemara by us, Hey Amud Aleph. We're at the two dots at the bottom of the page, is six lines up. Beginning of the line is Tachas, Nesina Yishanim Kesef, then there's these two dots, Lo. Everyone's got it? So, he's making a quote from the Mishnah, Lo Hari Shah Kahayma. You know, Shah and Mother are so different from each other that you can't learn one from the other. Okay, so Micah Omer. So, what's that line the Mishnah trying to stress? That's what the word Micah Omer means. What's it come to stress? What's it come to Mechadish us? So, Omer Rabzvit, Mishmei Dorova, Hokika Omer. This is what it means to tell you. It means to say, just write Shah, and learn Mavin from it. Just write Shah and learn Mavin. Why do you have to have in the Torah a separate writing? Yeah? Just write Shah and learn everything from Shah. Shah, your ox damages, then Mavin should also be quite, even without writing it. That's what the Gemara Mishnah means to say in that line. And therefore the Gemara then answers by saying that, the Mishnah then answers by saying you can't learn one from the other because they're very different from each other, and you may think just because one's hired doesn't mean necessarily the other's hired. So in our case, the Shah, if you just tell me the Shah, if your ox damages, then you're going to pay, doesn't necessarily mean that Mavi, if it damages, you're going to pay. What Mavi is, we already had a discussion, Rav understood rather means the odom of it. Just because you tell me that if your ox damages, you pay, it doesn't mean if when you go to sleep and you damage, you're going to pay, because it could be more lenient than that. And never you have to write it, and vice versa. Each one has their colossal homes. Okay? Then the Gemara carries on and quotes another line from the Mishnah. Next line of the Mishnah. Says, below Rucha. The Mishnah says over there, let's learn two of the items, which is Shah and Mafi. Let's write those two. Okay, write Shah and Mafi. You have to write Shah and Mafi because they both need to be written because they can't have one from each other. Let's write Shah and Mafi and don't write H, don't write fire. Just write Shah in the Torah is five. Your ox damages, you'll have to pay. Write Mafi if you yourself damage when you're sleeping, you'll have to pay. Write that. Don't bother tell me if your fire damages you have to pay. Look, I'll work it out. Okay? Write those two, but don't write fire. My comma. So what does the Gemara says, what's it trying to say? Bottom line is trying to say, Omar Rab Mashash Mishmaita Rafa. Hoffa comma. This is what it means to say. Lich to return the page. Lichten Rasmana Tati. Write two of these, Shah and Amavi, write those two. Fitati itich manayu. And just write Shah and Amavi is chayiv. The ox damaging and you falling asleep, you're chayiv to pay. Write those. Fitati itich manayu. And you learn that fire without writing it. You know that if you create a fire, damage you're going to have to pay. So that's the Mishnah's next question. Hada Omer, and that's why the Mishnah carries on and says, Chad Netati Lo Asi. No, you can't learn fire that you create to have to pay just because you tell me your ox damages, you have to pay. You fall asleep and you damage, you have to pay. Doesn't mean that if you create a fire and it damages your head, you're not going to know that. Why? Because maybe those two are more stringent, because there's Ruchayim involved. It's something that has real chayim in it. It's more of a mazik. It's more of an intrinsic mazik. Mashaykinesh is not such a mazik. It doesn't have its own license. It doesn't have a license. So it's more disconnected. More disconnected. That's what the Mishnah says. Okay. That's the end of the Gemara, just translating what the words, the Mishnah, and what the Mishnah is trying to tell you. Basically, the mission is you have to write all of them because you can't learn one from the other. You can't even write two of them because you still can't learn from two of them the other. So, then Rava comes along and says the following statements. And Rava is basically coming to answer the question which we started this year today, which is that the Mishnah, when it started the analysis of learning one from the other, it didn't go according to how it wrote initially, which is the bar. You should talk about bar, relate, write Shah, and try and learn bar from it. That if you think, oh, damages, you're chayv. You should write Shah and say, well, if you write Shah, you're chayv. You can't learn from there if you dig a hole, you're chayv. You should speak like that. It didn't speak like it. Left bar out in its analytic. Analyzing it at all until the last, it left it wrong order. So, what's the reason? So says the Gemara. Rava says, "I'll tell you an answer. I'll tell you a statement." Omar Rava, Kulu kishodis bar benayu, osu asiya kulu b'mahasat. If you have bar together with any one of the other damaging. Of the three, there's a four together, so you have bar with any one of the others. Osu kulu, Yutaka will be able to learn everything else. So if the Torah would write two scenarios, you dig a hole, and someone falls in it, or something breaks in it, you're going to be hard to pay. And also tells me, one of the other scenarios, let's say the shah, the ox, gores, ox gores, and the owner has to pay, tells me those two are lawful, then you can stop there. The Torah doesn't need to tell me anything more. I can work out that if you right, lights a fire and damages the ass. If I can work it out myself, I can also work out if the ox damages by eating, you have to pay. If the ox damages by traveling, you have to pay. If the ox damages by sleeping, you have to. I can all work it out without telling me anything. Because once you tell me these two, I know everything. That's what Robert's telling me. Robert's saying his statement. Okay. So, in fact, therefore, that answers why the Mishnah didn't want to discuss about Bob. Didn't want to discuss about Bob at all as a comparison to the others, because as soon as it talks about Bob as a comparison, so let's put Bob over there, then you're going to be the end of, I'll be finishing the Mishnah in 2 lines. I'll be saying, well, let's compare Shah to Bob, and you can't write Shah, if you write Shah, you won't learn Bob. If you write Bar, you won't know Shah. Okay, that's true. And if you write Shah and you write Bar, then you can't let the others. Not true. If you write Shah and Bar, you will know the others. You will know it. And that would be the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah would be. And the Mishnah wants to carry on. When he wants to write 5 lines. Yeah? He doesn't want to stop over there. So I said, let's leave Bar to the end. Because as soon as you have Bar with the others, then you don't need to write anything else. I want to write everything else. I'm telling you, leave Bar to the end. Here, yeah, have Shah with fire, and then Shah with lots of Mazik, and then you still need to write the others. But as soon as you have with Bar, that's the end of the mission. Okay? That's why Bar is up, because they wanted to write it according to. So why did they write Bar number 2? Because it's writing, this is how it's written in the Torah. This is the order it's written in the Torah. Shah number 1, Bar number 2, Malvi number 3, Hivin number 4. That's how it's written in the Torah. But when we want to ask, let's just write one and not learn out the others, I'm not going to talk about Bar, because if I soon talk about Bar, that is the ace card, that's the joker card. It helps me actually try to learn everything else, and I try to need, don't need to write anything. So, seems to be that Bar is one of the most, the scenario that's least likely to be hired. Meaning that if a person digs a hole and something gets damaged in it, I would think you're off the hook. If you tell me you're on the hook for that, then for sure you're on the hook for that. That's what seems to be wrong about Bar. And what's the characteristic of Bar, which is very different by anything else? Which means I would think that because of this characteristic, that the real, then you should really be off the hook. It's not as bad as the others. What's the characteristic of Bar that stands out in Bar being a reason to really disconnect the owner from being obligated? Okay, passive, stationary. What happened? I'm not doing the Bar speaking. I'm the Bar. I'm not doing anything. He came to me. Yeah. He punched his own nose. I didn't punch him. So therefore, there's less involvement, it's very passive type of damage, and therefore, if you're going to get the owner of that Bar on such a damage, then Kosher K is going to have to pay for all the other scenarios which are more active. So that's the key cards of Bar, which we're saying over here. Now, why don't we learn everything from Bar? If Bar is such a chiddush that you're chayv even digging a Bar, then why is Rava saying that if you have Bar with any one of the others together, then you'll know everything? But if Bar by itself, then I agree. Bar by itself won't be able to tell me anything. Bar with something else together will be able to tell me the other two. You've got 4 together, 6 together. You've got 6 all together. Scenarios where you damage all different fashions, and you're going to be have to pay for that. You know, like 2 of them, which 2? Bar and any one of the others. Then you know all the other 4. Why isn't Bar written by itself be able to tell me everything? He just says Bar is that one that is so disconnected from the other. If you tell me aside from that, then all the other scenarios are so more active than if it's all going to be. So just like that, why is Rava insisting Bar by itself is not good? So that's what that's saying. Yeah, it's an answer to the question. If already doesn't like life, and it's passive, and still the owner's hired, then Kosher K and all the other cases which has pierced And it's more active, it's going to be Kalev. So why is Var not good enough by itself to learn onto everything? So what is basically saying, what a characteristic of Var actually has a sub to say it's actually more formal, more stringent than the others, and therefore, just because this is higher, doesn't mean the others will run. What characteristic of Var is actually more stringent? Passive is a reason to be off the hook and still your life. But there's some characteristic in Var. Yes, to do with, so what does that mean? Why is it more humble? Why is that a reason to say you're on the hook more? I like the word clear. Negligence is not bad. It's not the exact. It's clear. It's clear. What you're doing by digging a hole? What's the purpose of you digging one? Why are you digging this hole? Why are you digging it? What are you creating when you dig a hole? So let's figure out when you dig a hole. You're creating from day one. You are being involved in creating something which is a danger to society. You're putting down something which is dangerous to society. Wow. Okay. So therefore, yeah, that's the reason to say you're more on the hook as the other cases. For example, when you buy an ox, are you clearly buying something and creating something that's dangerous to society? An ox?
Mm-hmm.
But by definition, not necessarily. I want to ask the family to maybe create children and all that. But that's the purpose of it. It's not something clearly dangerous. It may have dangerous aspects to it, but it's not clearly designed as a dangerous thing for society. Simply a fire. Why do I light a fire? Why do I light a fire? To damage somebody, and it's designed to damage something, it's supposed to damage something. No, what's the fire? Fire is to put something, make a madura, something like that. So where are you digging the hole? That's where we come back to what to do. So, are you allowed to dig a hole in the system? Are you allowed to dig a hole in the system? Without covering out. That before you take away the hole, covering up just means you're taking away the hole. The hole in its existence, what is it there for? The hole that we're discussing, in the system. It's you're putting there, creating something which is a dangerous society. Okay? That's the time. Yeah. So, you got reasons for this. Come up just means you took away the bar. That's what I'm saying. When the bar is in existence, you're creating something which is designed to damage somebody. But I've got reasons not to damage them, not to my reasoning about them, but I'm clearly putting something dangerous there because I have a personal use out of it being there. So I'm creating something dangerous, that's what you're doing, in order for me to have a personal use. But as the ox and the fire and the thing, I'm not creating something dangerous. It's in my house, the fire, the ox is in my property, it's designed, and it's not in a position at this moment as being a dangerous thing to society. So I've been. So therefore, that's why Robert says, correct, Bar is very passive, and you still fire, okay, so then Koshke and the others. But there is a slight aspect that Bar is more stringent in the fact that he has created something from day one to be dangerous to society, and therefore, if you just have Bar by itself that says you fire, I wouldn't know the others, because they're not as bad, the others. So, that's why Robert says, if you have Bar telling me you're fire, which is a passive damage. And one of the others, let's say an ox. You tell me that your ox gores that the owner is going to be high. You have those two together. Now I know everything. Because I know now that if you're passive, you're high, and kosher came, you're going to be high if it's active. I also know now, even if it's not designed to damage, and it's not, you haven't created a damage, you're still going to be high because you told me your ox. It also makes chayav the owner. So therefore, I know those two aspects are not a reason to say why you're fired. So once I know those two aspects are not a reason to be fired, and you're still fired, I know everything else is under those two. Okay. That's what Robert is telling me over here. Now, then he says the next line. He says, Labar Mekerem, except, next word, he says, except for Kerem. What does he mean, except for Kerem? He says, if you write Bar with one of the others, then you will know everything besides Kerem. What does he mean by that, besides Kerem? Meaning, you can't learn what? No. So what? No. What's the case? What's this word saying? I'm just translating words. I'm not explaining anything. What's he saying? If you have bar with one of the others, you know everything. A size for Karen. What does he mean? Those words. Okay, but what that we saw that you're getting out of just what's he saying? What does Labam again, apart from Karen, what does it mean? What did you write? I'll help you out. What did you write in the term? Ah, very good. What he means to say is you have bar with one of the other three that are left. So let's say bar with Shay, bar with Reda, bar with Ogham and Mazik. Okay. Then you'll know all the others, but you won't know Karen. In order to make sure you know everything, you have to have the only case, the only scenario where you know Mavis everything with just writing two, if you write bar and you write Karen. If you write bar, the owner of the bar sign, and you have the kines of whether the owner of the ox, of course, makes the owner type, you have those two things written in the term. Those two alone will actually tell me everything. You won't need to tell me anything more than that's it. Okay. But if you have bar, with telling me that the owner of the ox that eats somebody else's food makes the owner chayav, or the owner of the ox that tramples on the food makes something else, you have the bar together with one of those two nasas, you will know everything, but you won't know Karen. But you won't know Karen. Why won't you know Karen? Let's take the example of bar. You write bar, fine. Dig the hole. Falls in, you're chayav. Write that in the term. Then you write, ox of yours goes and consumes some of these foods. Shame, you're chayav. Okay, those two. Okay. You know everything, but you won't know Karen. Why won't you know Karen? Why would you think Karen is more lenient? That's just because Bob makes the owner's chayav. He digs a hole, he's chayav. And just because his ox consumes something, he's chayav. Doesn't necessarily mean now that if the ox roars, he's going to be fine. Why? Because it's more lenient than those two. In what way is Karen more lenient than those two? What aspect, what characteristic of Karen makes it more lenient than the bar and the shame together? Okay, what's chatzinezek? What do you mean? Okay, chatzinezek. I'm saying it's more lenient, and I think you're off the hook. It's not. Very good. Karen, the aspect of Karen, which is different from all the others, which makes it more lenient than all the others, is Karen. Is a very uncommon scenario. It's not a common scenario too. Very unusual. Unusual thing to happen. For ox to go crazy and maliciously damage something, very unusual compared to the others. So if you tell me the owner's hive when he digs a hole and damages, the owner's hive when his animal consumes something, fine. But I wouldn't necessarily know that the owner's going to be hired if his animal maliciously damaged something, because that's a very unusual case. So therefore, I wouldn't know Karen. So if you want to know everything, that covers everything, write Bob, which is passive, and write Karen, which is very unusual, and you tell me the owner's hired when it's passive damage. The owner's going to be hired also, even as active damage, but it's very unusual. then I know everything else. Once you tell me those two points, then I know everything else. I know you can work out shame's going to be chayav, can work out regal's going to be chayav, can offer a mazal's going to be chayav, because you tell me two extremes, which covers everything else, passive, and very unusual, still known as chayav. And even if you don't have these characteristics, you're going to be chayav. Even if it's active, you're going to be chayav. Even if it's usual, you're still going to be chayav. And once I know that those two are not elements, then you're going to be chayav on everything. Yeah, if you're chayav on unusual things, you're chayav on passive things, then also you can be chayav on everything which is active and common. Okay, and all the others are active and common compared to bar and ken. So that's what the next line means. Okay. So the Gemara points out, he says, Bama Karen, except for Karen. Karen is very different. You should say, Ikel Mitzvah, because you can make a pich and say, Karen, you're off the hook. Because Malakula Shechemud and Mitzchiloso, because all the others are, from the beginning, possibilities to damage. They're very logical scenarios to damage, and that's why they pay 100% when it happens, because it's a very possibility. And therefore, Karen, which is not so frequent, not so usual, and therefore the proof of the pudding is that if it happens, you only have to pay half. Why are you only paying half by Karen? Because it's so unusual, you only pay half. Why is it unusual? If so, forget the Gemara says that it's dark el hazik, as Avi keeps quoting that, and the Gemara says, how's that odd and dark el hazik? Why is it normal for our odd to damage? So the Gemara answers, when if someone puts himself next to a crystal vase and puts himself to sleep, he's negligent because he's obviously going to be breaking that vase in such a scenario, because it's very normal for him to stretch out his arms and legs as he's sleeping. Very common. So therefore, since it's very common, therefore, it's a very a negligent activity. So forget it. It's not like having an ox in your house and it's goring the whole problem. Normally, they're not designed to gore these things. Yes. Okay, you're discussing a person that wouldn't go to sleep, but we're talking about a person who did go to sleep. Okay. Now, the Gemara carries on. And here is an important line, which we'll discuss tomorrow. I'm just going to read the Gemara today to get to the end of the sugya, but I'll point out the question. Leman Zahoma, maybe we'll start a bit. Leman Zahoma adds a rabbi, but Karen or Jesus. There is a opinion out there that says a goring ox is the one that's most likely to obligate the owner. There is an opinion out there that holds that a goring ox, out of all the categories, is the most one that's most likely to obligate the person. If so, the line of this Gemara understanding, if so, fell away your statements that says you won't be able to learn out Kenan. Not true. If you have Ba and you have Shane together, and then both of those you're going to be hired, then closer again you're going to be hired on an ox goring, according to this Mazalmo, who says ox goring is the most likely thing to obligate an oath. Now, tomorrow we'll analyze what this Mazalmo holds, because according to logic, it doesn't make sense, because we just said Karen is a very unusual scenario, and therefore no one expects it to happen, and including the owner doesn't expect it to happen. So when it happens, it's a hafta'ah, it's a surprise, and therefore to make the owner chayav is like, wow, you're going to make him chayav even in this scenario. That's what we've been saying up to now. This Kandama holds, no, it's obvious he's chayav. So obvious, if you write the others, for sure this is chayav. What does he hold? Why doesn't he hold a haftar? Why doesn't he hold a haftar? Why doesn't he hold a bit? Okay. So, we'll discuss that in a bit of detail tomorrow. Let's carry on. So, according to him, you learn from a bar and anything, you learn everything. You have bar with Shem, bar with Regal, bar with Arthur, Arthur, then you know everything. Even Karen, you know. Okay. So now we have an important question. And Lamai Hilchasa, considering Rachmanim. So if you're telling me, if you look at the obvious question, if you're telling me that you can write just two, like any two, or at least bomb, Karen, you can write and know everything. So you've got a scenario of just writing two and not needing to write the others because you can work it out yourself. So why did the Torah write the others? Why did he write four? Why did he write six? Why did he write six cases of the owner being hired? If you're telling me you can write two and you know everything else, so why did he write six? You know everything. And that's your answer. He says, Lehilchoseihem. You know why he wrote it? It came off Hanami to tell me your chayiv, to tell me you're obligated, it doesn't need to write all six. It just needs to write two. Either any two or bon ken. Okay. But why are you telling me all six? Because each category has a special halacha applied to it, which doesn't apply to another. There's a special exception. In each one of the categories, there's a special exception, which doesn't apply to the other, and that exceptions you won't know unless you write it. So I'm not writing it in order to tell your client. I'm writing it to tell me when you're potter. Because if I only write two, then I'll say, everyone, all six are the same as these two, and whatever applies to these two will apply to all six. And it's across the board. That's wrong. There's exceptions in different categories which doesn't apply to the other categories. So therefore I need to write all six to tell me the special exceptions of each category. So it carries on. So what are the special exceptions? Each one has their own exception, and that's why each one needs to be written. So it says, Karen, you write Karen. Lechalik ben Toma Lemudus. You have to write Keren if you have Vav Hashem and you hold, you don't need to write Keren. So why do you write Keren? You need to write Keren to tell me its exception. What? To tell me there's a special thing which doesn't apply to anything else. By Keren, there's two types of Keren. There's a Keren that the first three times you only pay half the value, and the fourth time when it damages, you pay full value. That's nothing like any other Mazikin. No other category is there a difference between first time, second time, third. You always pay everything. So it's special exception by Karen. There's a leniency by Karen doesn't apply to everyone else. That the first three times, you're off the hook on half of it. Okay? Shein v'regel. Why do you write Shein v'regel? Why do you write Shein v'regel? The Pots Rebushel Sarabim. It has a special exception where it's not high. And only in it has this exception, that if it takes place, the damage in Rishus HaRabim, if it consumes in Rishus HaRabim, or tramples in Rishus HaRabim, then the owner's off the hook. None of the other type of mazik can make a difference if it's Rishus HaRabim or not. You dig a hole in Rishus HaRabim for sure you're fine. You punch somebody, you know you're fine from Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't make a difference. If a fire is in Rishus HaRabim or not, makes no difference. The only case where there's a leniency in Rishus HaRabim, if the damage is through, it's Shein v'regel. So it has an exception that needs to be written. Question. Why both? Just write Shein or Regel. To tell me, obviously, the answer is a silly question. To tell me, if you only write Shein, I wouldn't necessarily say Regel also has that exception. I need to write both of them. Shein v'regel, both of you have this exception. Okay. Bar, why do you need to write bar? Why do you need to write bar? Well, you need to write bar lifto es hakelim. Because it has an exception, which no one else has. The other mazik has. that if someone's vase gets broken in the bar, the owner of the bar is also doesn't have to pay for any damage done to someone's head. Doesn't pay. Obviously, if you break it with your hands, you have to pay. Fire consumes someone's clothes, you have to pay. Obviously, your animal eats or destroys somebody's clothes, it has to pay. Obviously, this exception is separately for my bar. Let me ask you a question over here. Bar, we said at the beginning, has to be written. Because bar is the one which cannot be learned from anything. Can't be learned from anything. Because bar is passive and nothing can tell me bar. So why is the Gemara even telling me that you need to write bar for the exception? No, bar is the exception, so to speak, of all these, that you need to write bar to tell me that you're chayav. For all the others, you don't need to write, because I can work out your chayav by the combinations that tell me you're chayav. Bar doesn't matter. If you don't write bar, no combination will tell me chayav. You always have to write bar, because you would be potter. So unless you tell me bar is chayav. So why is the Gemara telling me you're writing bar to tell me there's a case you're potter? No, you're writing bar to tell me you're chayav on bar. That's how you talk at the beginning. Question. Well, the Rabbi Huda is a machayav on this case. And according to Rabbi Huda, holds even a bar, owner of the hole, who breaks the vessel, is chayav for that vessel. So why write bar? Why write bar? It has no exception, according to Rabbi Huda. According to him, you have to say, this is the autumn. Because there's still an exception, according to Rabbi Huda, if a person falls in and dies, you don't have to pay. If it's one, that's only 9 sepulchres, one, you don't need to pay. Dig a hole, only 9 sepulchres, somebody falls in and dies, you don't need to pay. Even going to a Bueller, special exception, any other damage which kills a person, you have to pay. Okay. Again, a question is a very solid question. Why do I understand this? Bar, you always need to write to tell me you're chayav. You never need to write bar to tell me you're potter. If you don't write bar, I always think you are off the hook. You have to have bar and a tailor in order to tell me you're on the hook. So why is the Gemara saying you need bar to tell me special halacha when you're off the hook? No, you need bar to tell me you're chayav. Well, the Gemara is bothered about it. Autumn. Why do you write autumn? Why do you write autumn? I know you're autumn, you're chayv. You punch somebody in the nose, of course you're chayv. You're chayv on your ox causing damage. You're chayv on your fire causing damage. You're chayv on your whole causing damage. Of course you're going to be chayv. If you yourself damage with a punch in the face, of course you're chayv. So he says, lechayv ba'avitz varim. Yes, you're right. I know you're chayv. I didn't know you're so chayv. You're chayav when you damage somebody physically with your own body. You're chayav not only for damages, you're chayav for other payments. If you don't tell me that, I would think you're only chayav for damages and not chayav for his doctor's fees, not chayav for anything else. Eight, why do you write fire? Listerbo es hatomim. To tell me a special exception. That if your fire damages, there's a case where you're off the hook. If it consumes something, let's say it consumes a haystack, and inside that haystack suddenly has a purse of money, you're not going to pay. Because there is a gossip, you're not going to pay the owner of the fire, not to pay. Because special agency only applies to the fire, something that's hidden, is off the hook. Off the hook. I, Ruhudza, to Machayat Adliske Tomin Peish. I put back together, according to Rabbi Huda, there's no exception by fire. Fire, you're chayv, even on something that's hidden. So why write fire? I know you're chayv. You don't need to tell me you're not chayv. I know you're chayv by writing anything else. Why write fire? Lasur, to tell me a chiddush in fire. My lasur, what's it come to tell me? Lichaki nora, the sister's school afnod. To tell me that if a fire damages somebody, licks, so to speak, damages somebody's ground, he singes the ground, singes the walls, blackens it. That is called a damage, which you have to pay, when none of the other categories have to pay that. You have to understand why the other categories don't pay for that. That's in Sina. So the Gitzah we're finishing off today is what the Gemara in summary has told us, and we'll analyze a bit tomorrow. The issue of what it says. To tell me you're chayav to pay money for damage you didn't write to write to. Maybe the two have to be Karen and Bar. Maybe it could be Bar and any one of those. But who can tell me you're chayav and everything? Why talk to you others if really you could get away with two? The reason, right? The others can tell me there are cases where the others are off the hook, which you wouldn't know unless you write them. And each category has their special case for the hospital. That's the Godel, the picture of what the Gemara is just saying you in Shas. Tomorrow we're going to go analyze a bit of the questions we have on the statement set. Okay.